The Total Financial Hour is sponsored by TFS Financial Insurance Services and Total Financial Solutions, Inc.
The information on this show is not intended to be the primary basis for investment decisions and should not be used to provide financial advice. Please obtain the guidance of a financial professional regarding your particular financial concerns. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This program reflects the views of Arif Halabi, California Insurance License 0B93792 of TFS Financial Insurance Services. TFS Financial Insurance Services, California Insurance License Number 0F22477, provides retirement income strategies using insurance and annuity products, which are guaranteed by the claims-paying ability of the issuing company.
Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy, learn from Arif Halabi. Learn about financial power.
I'm Arif Halabi, the Total Financial Hour. Thank you for spending your morning with me. I'm here live on Sunday, your time. Usually it's after church or before football. Well, it depends on the season or even after. But thank you for taking a few minutes, an hour or two. We're going to be on 2 hours again today. That's our thing. We did it because you guys asked for it. It was a big part of what I think what our message is, which is taking responsibility, getting out, understanding your financial life is your in your control. It's your responsibility. Here's a good example. How many times do people get a good job? And I'll put quotes around that because I'm not sure if there is such a thing. But they'll get a job and they'll go out and say, you know what? I wanted to work for this company, city, county, state, big company, only to find out that the layoffs come, only to find out that you're almost in prison working with a crummy boss who definitely you know much more than they do about your job, and yet you have to work for them. But only for the next 17 years because you have a pension, you're stuck. It's kind of like prison, right? I mean, you understand that there's a whole lot of people who just wish they could work for, oh, I don't know, let's think of a tech company. What's a good one? Let's think. Apple! Oh, wait, Apple just laid off a whole bunch of people. Oh, don't worry about that. Let's see, Expedia. Oh, psh, big company. Oh, they're only laying off 1,500 workers. But Sony, my gosh, that's a huge, huge company. Probably some of the best cameras. I'm an amateur photographer. I love cameras. I remember their computers. Quality work, about 30% of their layoffs, 30% of their staff, people of their interactive company, are going to be laid off, along with Bumble and Fisker and, you know, oh, let's think of another one. Carbon Health, some of these, you know. EA, remember Electronic Arts? My point is, it doesn't matter where you work, city, county, state, or big company. You're going to give up something. So understand that you are in control of that, right? A purpose is much more than just getting a paycheck. It can be part of it. You have to eat dinner. You have to provide for your family. But your purpose in life might be different. It might be after 5 p.m. It might be on the weekends. It might be in the morning before going to work. Because here's what happens. The day you leave that job, here's what I've seen, right? Arif Halabi, that's me, 28 years now in the financial business. Thousands of clients. Okay. What's the common denominator? If you have a purpose in retirement, you have a better, longer, healthier retirement. If you don't, you sit around and you get heavy. You lose motivation. For some of you men, you lose testosterone and sex drive. For some of you women, you lose self-worth. This is my observations. It could be just the 10 people I met this last week. It could be national. I don't know. I'm just telling you my observations. High-ranking lieutenant on the police on the sheriff's department. Young, fit, you have to be. I mean, not always, but, you know, you try. You do your best. I saw a picture of him. Another person on another agency saw a picture of him a year after they retire. I don't know what the heck happened. Oh, Arif, don't be, you know, waitist, whatever the latest victimhood is. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they changed. And why do you change so quickly? It's often self-worth, right? More or less. You could have gone from nothing to something. You can change in a positive way. But why is it that when we leave our jobs, you leave your careers, you change careers to something volunteer or part-time, you don't seem to take care of yourself anymore? Blood pressure, diabetic. Go to any doctor at any time. Everybody's pre-diabetic. You know that. I started saying, you know, any financial professional at any of the big Morgan, Charlie, Raymond, Edward, all of those big companies, everybody's a vice president. Everybody's a vice president. Hey, I'm at work with the vice president. No kidding. So it's not the secretary who gets the coffee. Got it. Okay, vice president. Right, go to your doctor. Today, everybody's a pre-diabetic. Does the doctor own shares in the pre-diabetic medication company? Maybe. Or maybe our lifestyles are just getting towards a place where and everybody is pre-diabetic. Do you see how horrible that? And it's so stupid. It's like everybody is pre-dying. Well, yeah, because everybody's going to pass away one day. Oh, you're dying, sir. Well, no kidding. The moment I was born, I'm dying. There's a date stamped on my passport. This is your exit date. I don't know when. God willing, a long, long time. Right? So part of this is your responsibility. Some things you can't control. Some things you can. I want you to take control of the things that you can control. Maybe you volunteer at schools. Right? Maybe you go back to your high school or junior high. Maybe you run, be one of the adult, what do they call it? The adult advisors on some of these university programs. You can get in and bring a level of sanity. Maybe bring a level of, hey, maybe that's just a dumb idea to call everybody an LGBT. Maybe it's a dumb idea to say everybody's racist who doesn't believe the same way you believe. Right? The left wing has done this. Here's the left wing. They know sound bites. Right? They know a little bit about a lot of things. Try to go deeper with the issue with the left wing, and they call you names, or they change the subject. Oh, yeah, but what about Donald Trump? You're like, what? George Bush is so happy Donald Trump came along because he was the one that they used to pick on all the time. Oh, yeah, but what about George Bush? You're like, yeah, but I'm talking about Barack Obama, what he's doing. Oh, yeah, but what about George Bush? You're like, do you not even know? Can you even discuss? Do you have any real knowledge about what Barack Obama did to the military? How instead of saying I'm half white and half black, instead of saying, hey, listen, I was elected president not once but twice, let me pull this country together, Barack Obama came along and became a divisive human being, one of the most divisive human beings in American history. The difference is he wasn't somebody who would say it out loud. Right? Donald Trump tells you what he's going to do, and then he does it. Barack Obama lies to your face and then does something different. That's how we ended up with all this debt. That's how we ended up with all of this mess. Joe Biden takes a page out of the playbook from Barack Obama. Right? President Biden is very clean and simple. It's everybody else's fault. Start to say something and he does the typical left wing. He'll either call you a name or he'll change a subject. Gavin Newsom, classic. Look at an interview recently on Channel 4. Classic. Call you a name subtly and change a subject. You see, the conservatives, here's what the conservatives do. The conservatives, they know a lot about a topic, maybe a few things. And they want to speak in depth and use logic. So when a conservative says, yeah, but do you not understand, quote, with this Clean Water Act, what you're actually doing is going onto private property, telling people that if they have a puddle or a stream or a private pond, that the federal government now has access to your property, can regulate how you use your property because you have, quote, the Federal Waterways Act. You realize 8 seconds into that, the left wing will, oh, yeah, but what about Donald Trump? Yeah, go back. No. See, the left wing wants to call things bad names that are guns, and they made up this term called an assault weapon. It doesn't exist. Oh, it's a military arm. No, but that's not true, because the military has automatic weapons, certain types of things like suppressors or silencers that are prevalent. You can buy them in the private sector, but it takes a long time. Oh, yeah, but what about George Bush, right? So do you see how the left wing and the conservatives' values, they're different, because they're taught to argue and call names. It didn't used to be that way. It used to be the playground was that place. So when you try to tell people about money or jobs, or you should think for yourself, or you should build your own wealth, immediately the left wing comes along and says, oh yeah, but what about Donald Trump? You try to say, well, no. What I'm saying is, look, there are some things like the 401k plan that are right for you. You should put money. And then there's some times when you shouldn't. Yeah, that's right. Sometimes you should not put money in the 401k plan. There are other places to put it. Oh, yeah, but what about gold? Maybe you want some gold. I have no problem. Real estate, no problem. Get some real estate. Annuities, no problem. Get some annuities. You see, when you try to talk to the left wing about a subject, they'll immediately, when they're uncomfortable, call you a name, racist. Right? What's the thing now? White supremacist. I thought child trafficker was going to get some traction for a while. I thought, child trafficker, human smuggling. I thought that was the thing that was going to go. But they pivoted, because the left wing does this test. Right? Everybody was a racist. That kind of lost its panache. Everybody's a racist. Now they do white supremacist. Everybody's a white supremacist. Okay, ready for this? They're testing another one. They're going to run with white supremacist, and they're slowly dripping in Christian nationalist. Did you know that? And expect them to start talking about Hitler's Christian upbringing, which is not true. We know that. Mussolini was a staunch Roman Catholic, Christian nationalist, Nazi. That's what the next thing is, right? Racist, white supremacist. Now it's Christian nationalist. We'll see if that goes. I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months. As soon as President Trump locks up the nomination, which probably is now anyway, but Haley is the figurehead. We'll see how long it goes. And I think you're going to see the Christian nationalist. And if you're Jewish or Muslim or agnostic or even an atheist, and you're like, yeah, but President Trump kind of cares about the country, not his bank account like China. You understand that? There's a difference, right? The amount of money, 22, I think, is the latest shell companies uncovered by the Congress investigators. Congressional investigators. And the FBI knew this. The FBI knew that President Biden, when he was Vice President Biden and Candidate Biden, they knew he was compromised. They knew it. But he was so deep into the swamp, his friends and your friend and the previous guy and this guy's this. They all just covered for each other. That's how much they disliked. Because remember, that's another characteristic of the left, is hate. They don't vote for President Biden because they like him. They vote for President Biden because they hate Trump. The people that are voting for President Trump like President Trump. Do you see the difference? You might have seen a little bit of that when we hated Hillary Clinton on the conservative side. I certainly wouldn't have voted for her. I would have voted because I disliked her and maybe even hated her, for sure. But here's the change. Right, Hillary Clinton exposed a lot of what she was. And then as President Trump, back then Candidate Trump, was running for office, it turned from hating her to liking him. He was number 17 out of 17 of the candidates. I think it was 17. They're like, I'll take Ted Cruz. Oh, yeah, I'll take Marco Rubio. I mean, there's a lot of other people in the... And then the last one was, who's left? Oh, I guess it's Donald Trump.
But when he came out in his policies and what he was saying and sticking it to the community, I thought, wow, I think I like him. Certainly like his policies. I don't like what he says and does. Oh, some of you ladies are like, well, yeah, I just don't like what he says. Who cares? I'm going to ask your kids if they like you. I'm going to ask your sisters, your brothers, do they like everything you said and did? God forbid your mom and dad, actually, if they're still with us, are going to say that they like everything you said and did. Oh, yeah, but the way. Oh, really? There's nobody that dislikes the way you do say whatever? Of course. You're not voting for a popularity contest. You're voting to try to fix this country. I don't know if it's too late. I think it isn't. I think we still can fix this country. I think the state is over. The state of California, financially speaking, is over. You either have two choices to stay here. Number one, if you're going to stay, you have to fight. That means you have to lick envelopes. You have to go be a monitor at these elections. You have to pick up these ballots, do the ballot harvesting, and get them to the ballot box without anybody cheating and lying and stuffing the ballot boxes, like we already know on Dinesh D'Souza's 2,000 mules. You see, the difference is there are left-wing people mostly that work for the county, city, state. And in the election department, almost all of them, I think statistics were 90 or 96%, identify as Democrats or left-leaning. So do you think that they now know, after either watching that movie or watching the video or being in charge of releasing the video through the FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act? When Dinesh D'Souza got those videos, somebody had to review them. And that person is most likely a left-wing operative. And yet, ready for this? They saw it. They saw their side cheating. And they rationalized it. And the moment you bring it up, guess what they do? Change a subject, call you a racist. Oh, you don't like Hispanics voting. Oh, interesting. Now, isn't it interesting that the polling is showing that Hispanics are leaning towards who? That's right, Donald Trump. So as you see this, why is it? Because they think minimum wage should go up or stay down or has anything to do with Hispanic workers? No. Usually because Hispanic workers work their tail off. You've heard me say this. I'll say it again, especially for some of you new listeners. How many of you wake up at 5 or 6 in the morning or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and go outside of the paint store or the Home Depot or the rock quarry, the rock store, right? The soil. Yeah, how many of you are out there 5 o'clock in the morning waiting for a possible job? I'm not saying they should be in this country. They shouldn't. There's a right way to come in. You come in through the front door. All those cliches, 100% correct. There's a legal way to enter this country. Setting that aside for a second, did you see any black guys out there? How about Asians? White guys? Half Lebanese guys with moms from Michigan. You don't see us out there, do you? So you can say a lot of things about the Hispanic community, but one of those things you cannot say is that they are not hardworking. They are very hardworking. Sacrifice. I saw this when I was a policeman. I rarely get up at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning and get on the road nowadays. Maybe I'm catching a plane or something, you know, going somewhere. But I can tell you when I was a policeman working overnights, right, from midnight to 8 a.m. or 11 to 8 a.m., whatever the shift was, you would see who you would see out there. And I venture to say it really hasn't changed. So what's the point with this? Well, the Hispanic community is like, look, we're willing to work hard. Joe Biden is giving away stuff to so many different people. Joe Biden is anti-Catholic, at least the Catholic values. And the Hispanic community is pretty deep in their faith. I'm not saying they're perfect. And the illegals here, guess who they target? The illegal criminals that come across the border, guess who they target? That's right, the people in their communities. No different than the barrios of New York, the Italian mafia and the Italian criminals going after the Italian mom and pop pizza shops and restaurants and fruit vendors. Doesn't matter. Puerto Rican, the victims are Puerto Rican. You get it? It doesn't matter. They go after their own community mostly. So they're the victims. The hardworking men and women. It doesn't matter the community. They don't want to be criminals. They don't like this thumbing your nose at the faith that they believe in. So the left wing has really pushed this whole, you need the government. Let me tell you something. The more the government is involved in your life, if you're receiving disability or Medi-Cal, if you're receiving food stamps, if you're receiving this, I'm poor, give me money, free stuff, you better get out of it as quick as possible. You have to. You are getting titrated this drug called government dependency. Oh, Eric, but it means I have to work three jobs. You got it. And so why do you think the lower class, lower income workers are favoring Donald Trump? Very simple. They got laid out from their job and a computer took their spot. Just by raising the minimum wage a couple of dollars per hour, it costs the business owner 100% of what they make per year. The business owner of a restaurant might make $100,000, $150,000 a year. By raising just $1 or $2 an hour, the wages, do you realize what happens? All of the money that that business owner makes goes to the employees. In other words, he or she that takes all the chances get nothing. So would they do that? Of course not. So guess what they have to do? Raise the prices and lay off one or two workers and then basically threaten, I mean, in a nice way, the others that say, hey, listen, if you don't pick up his slack, you're going to be fired. There are plenty of, so all of a sudden, people were championing this whole $20 minimum wage. And if you took eighth grade math, you would look around and go, carry the one, divide by two, laying off four. Sorry, no overtime. Sorry, no benefits. Sorry. When you have somebody as ignorant as Gavin Newsom, listen, he owned businesses. He understands. So maybe ignorance is the wrong term. Maybe it's evil, right? Maybe that's the key. I mean, you understand, if he knows what's right and does what's wrong, what do you call that person? Right? Because if he tells you, hey, listen, I owned restaurants, I employed people, he knows the math. So where does he think it's going to come from? Because it trickles down. Because now the guy that delivers the meat at a restaurant makes more money. Now the gas station employee makes more money. So the gas has to be more expensive. The guy that delivers the meat, he wants to make more money. His or her supervisor wants to make more money. The lady who runs the shop is the business owner of the distribution. She wants to make more money. So it trickles all the way down. Why do you think nearly 10,000 businesses have left the state of California? Why do you think almost 2,000 people per day, 7 days a week, 24 hours ago, there were 2,000 more people in the state of California than right now? Oh, but Eric, illegals come in. You're right. Yep, some of the illegals come in. Some stay, some move on. So who do you think leaves? Of that 2,000, they're either retirees, which means they receive a paycheck from pensions or Social Security, and they don't take a job. You see, that's the kind of people you want. That's why Florida is doing so well, one of the reasons. Because people that have money, that earn money each and every month, income, annuities, pensions, Social Security, rental property, they receive money and they don't take a job. It's not like they work at the grocery store or something. That's a great person to have because then they bring money into the community. They don't take a job, so they provide jobs. Well, that's either the one person that leaves or the other person that leaves is the person that owns a small business that says, listen, it's $150,000 a year that I have to pay these extra people. Or the same people, but the extra money, this extra $1 or $2 or $3 an hour. So guess what you have to do? You shut down your restaurant, shut down your business, move your manufacturing place to a place that makes sense. where it doesn't cost that much to raise a family, where you can afford to buy a home. If you're going to stay here, you better fight. That means standing up at school board meetings, going to the council meetings, etc. You have to get involved, or you leave. Because if you're conservative and you stay here just to mark time until you pass away, then the next whatever phase of your life, what purpose did you have? You weren't fighting by volunteering at the elementary school. You weren't helping kids understand there are other ways to think than what their teachers or the school board is telling them. You're just taking up air. I want you to fight. Fight or move, right? Stay with me after the break. I have some more information about Adam Schiff, how to vote, what some of the voting things are, the ballot measures. Well, let's see what those bond measures are all about when we come back. Total Financial Solutions, Total Financial. This is the Total Financial Hour. I'm Arif Hallaby. We'll be right back. 888-99-RETIRE. Let me give that to you. 888-997-3847. We'll be right back.
Learn about financial power. The Total Financial Hour. Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy, learn from Arif Hallaby.
Hey, welcome back to the show, Arif Hallaby. 888-997-3847. 888-987-3847. 888-99-RETIRE. Part of what we look at is, where is this education coming from, that the U.S. is a bad place, that America is on stolen land, right? When you go to the conservative side of things and start understanding the logic, you say, okay, great, well who did we steal it from? They go, oh, well, the native population, or indigenous, I guess that's the new term, indigenous people. You say, great, well, who did they take it from? What do you mean? Well, what was the name of? Well, they were the Hopis or the Paiute or the Cherokee, whatever the local history says. Great. So when they enslaved the Navajo and killed everybody and then stole their women and enslaved their children, who did we protest that, or are we going to protest it now? Should we go to the Navajo reservation and seize their casinos? What are we going to do about it? And they say, well, what about George Bush? Racist, right? They flipped the script. Because you went down the road of logic. That's what I'm telling you to do. Be an expert on one thing. One thing. So that when you encounter an open-minded left-wing person, you can in turn, maybe, just maybe, give them something to think about. And that's you volunteering at schools. Remember the school days, my poor educator clients, they come in, you know, we're a financial firm, and they come in to talk about their retirement accounts, and our job is to help them kind of grow and build something. And part of it is they say, listen, we have no time in the day to teach anything except whatever the state mandated tests are. So they don't trust us as educators anymore. They tell us you got to teach to the test. So the thinking part that a young child receives, or that a school age junior high or high school person starts to receive, that logical part of their brain that allows them to decipher right from wrong, take an argument down a little deeper, not just go to the platitudes of sayings that are on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker, but instead to go deeper, so that when someone asks them, why do you believe this? Why are you saying assault weapons? What does that mean? Well, the amount of people that die from guns, number one, da da da. No, it's not true. It isn't true. More people die from medical malpractice every year. 300,000-400,000, according to the American Medical Association, which, you know, might be just maybe sort of kind of maybe wouldn't be producing the truth. I mean, maybe. American Medical Association, these are doctors. I've seen their coats. They're super white. Maybe they do have credibility. So then if it's only the 300,000-400,000 people per year, right, 150 to 300,000, they come up with all these numbers, from medical malpractice per year, are we going to ban doctors and pharmacists? urgent cares? Of course not. So it's not about the amount of people dying. Oh, it's the suicides. When you add suicide, okay, great. So when somebody takes their own life and it's a horrible thing, and they do it by hanging, do we ban the rope? Pills, do we ban the pills? Right? Bridges, do we ban bridges when they jump off? And I mean, this is a horrible thing to talk about, but I want you to think through this, because that is the logic that you as a conservative can bring to the argument where they inflate the number of people passing away by including suicides. Yeah, but for the gun not being there, they wouldn't have chosen to kill themselves. Not true. No evidence. Zero. Not a true statement. Maybe made up. But then if the bridge wasn't there, would they not have chosen to jump off the bridge? We must ban the Golden Gate. People's lives matter. Safety, safety, safety. Do you see where I'm going with this? This is something that I want you to start thinking about, because their reasoning for trying to move away from the free speech side and move away from the firearms that you can keep in your home, all of that logic is for one reason: their ability to not have to speak, their ability to not have to teach, their ability to not have to defend, because it's all about power. I mean, you know that in your heart, right? This isn't a secret. When they fill up the school day with woke ideas, America is bad, indigenous people good, black people good, white people bad, now they're indoctrinating this Christian nationalist story. So what is that? Atheism is good? I don't know. Who's the other side of that? You want to know how evil America can be? Watch CNN for 10 minutes. MSNBC, nobody watches it. It's off the rails. But certainly, you want to get an idea. They say the craziest things to you and I. You're like, this is crazy. Nobody believes this. Oh, yeah, it's called our school system. There's no reason in the world for LA Unified to be as large as it is. No reason. It should be, I don't know, 10 or 20 districts. Maybe the number's 9. Maybe it's 14. But there should be more districts, more accountability. Oh, Arif, then you have more bureaucrats. No. You guys, there already are bureaucrats that control, quote, clusters. And I mean, they make up names every other year. Every other superintendent puts in their own little 2 cents, where this person is a super principal. They're in charge of a super cluster. Yeah, but okay, how do you measure success? Shouldn't it be kids that can read at grade level, kids that go on to have productive careers, kids that don't take out stupid student loans? Oh, but they needed to go to school. They're broke. Okay, kids that can work, kids that can figure out community college, 2 years, save up their money, get 2 years of their 4-year degree out of the way at a very inexpensive cost. Now you're telling me you're raising an intelligent person, not somebody that you filter in where the government / taxpayers / mostly the people that didn't go to college, believe it or not, are the ones paying so that this kid that was educated in elementary, junior high, and high school, or middle school, whatever they call it these days, can learn something that is super counterintuitive to you and I when it comes to what a school is supposed to be. Just like, really, hey, Mary, off the cuff, what's a school supposed to be? Well, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Oh, yeah, but there's a state test and this woke thing, and we're changing everybody from George Washington is now a black male, and we have a female 007 that's black, and then we have, you know, the three people that happened to be at the World Trade Center helping and rescuing people. And the flag that was on the top of the World Trade Center, one of them. And you had those three men, firefighters, and they were raising the flag on this flagpole. And it became this monumental statue. It became this symbol on coins and different things, posters, right? They took out one of the men who was white and put in a black man. Why would you, if you were a minority, want that to happen? Why would you say, okay, great, we're going to start the race, but I want to have a 20-yard head start in a 40-yard race? Why would you want people to look at you with the side eye? Oh, she's a lieutenant on the police department. Bet she's not that good. You see, if you're a lieutenant on the police department, you get paid more money. You're making nearly $200,000 a year with overtime. You're happy. You got benefits, $250, $220. Life is good. And then you think you deserve it. Why? Because go back to being a victim from junior high, middle school. Remember that? Instead of saying, listen, I busted my hiney and I deserve to be here. I'm a Navy SEAL. I busted my hiney. I deserve to be here. Right? Those men don't look at somebody and say, oh, wait, what side of Chicago are you from? Oh, what part? Where's your mom? Oh, she's Sicilian. Oh, Nobody cares about that. When I was a policeman, nobody cared about that. When I was a police officer in LAPD, you know what? When I was in a fight, when I needed somebody to come and rescue my fanny when we're 10 gang members, you know what I did? I just called for help and somebody came and the person was wearing blue. I didn't care. But when you had somebody come in your car next to you and you could think about it for a minute and they didn't know the English language, they didn't know how to write properly because it was all before the computer days. They didn't know how to spell properly. And you're thinking to yourself, holy moly, this person has a college degree. They're sitting next to me in the police car, but because they're a minority that the police department wants to hire, we all are just supposed to look at them as if they're the same. I'm going to tell you, behind the scenes, people did not respect them. Arif, that's so mean. Oh, you want the truth or you want to listen to CNN? I'm okay with either way. But who is it not right for? It's not right for that person. Right? If you say, oh, Arif, we're going to give you this job because your dad knows the owner. You got about 10 minutes to prove yourself. Otherwise, you're fired. Right? Because any connection can get you the job. But you better be held to the same standard to keep your job. And they weren't doing that. Look at the cabinet. Look at our press secretary. The poor lady is way out of her league still to this day. But oh, the first gay, lesbian, transgender. What? Who cares? You're a press secretary to the most powerful country. If she isn't wealthy yet, she will be 2 years after she leaves. She'll have millions of dollars in her account. Because that's generally what Democrats do, but Republicans too. They parlay that government service, especially in front of the media, to get a job over at MSNBC. She'll get that job. She already had it. But instead of her being held to account with all of her tweets and Facebook posts of how much she hated America and everybody's a victim and white bad guys and good black guys. What? Oh, we're going to put you as a spokesperson for the country because you were able to think about deleting it? Do you see, my point is, if you hire somebody because of what they cannot control, right? I can't control that I'm a male, that I have a mom from Michigan. I can't control that my dad came from Lebanon. I can't control that. But I can control whether or not I choose to learn the English language. I can control whether I chose to learn math. I can control whether I wake up at 5 a.m. and go wait for you at Home Depot to try to get a job maybe sort of today. I can control those things. So what do I do? That's how you should judge me. You're saying that all young black men in high school choose crime? Of course not. You guys know better than that. Why don't we honor the kid who chose to work hard, go to college, stay away from gangs, finish their homework, study online, whatever they did? Why do you lump him or her in the same bucket as the people that don't deserve to even be there? Then you diminish that person's value in the role. You diminish their value in the career choice. It's a shame. Privately, they tell me this all the time. Privately, they say, well, you know, I wish I would have just got the job on my own merit. And so here's what I tell them. Your job is just like mine. You prove every day that you belong. And it means you're going to have to do more. Yes, it is. You're going to have to do more. Just like if I worked at a plant and my father was the foreman and I got a job there, you have to work a little harder so that people go, this person deserves to be here regardless of their relationship, right? Because I can't control who my dad is. My dad's the foreman of the plant. I got a job there. Got it. I can't control that. I can control how hard I work at the plant. Do you see where I'm going with that? Fight for something. Learn that issue. Fight the system. Buck the system that says gay, minority, transgender. Forget it. Do you deserve to be here? Great. Go for it. Maybe you're going to pick the assault on female sports. Right? The left wing is a dishonest group. We know that. It was female rights until it was having men in their locker rooms. It was Me Too just a couple of years ago, remember? Me Too, sexual assault. Me Too, believe every woman. Me Too, now put a guy inside of your locker room who pretends to be a girl. Oh, now put a guy in your locker room who will shower with you and change clothes with you because he says he's a woman. Now let a guy play volleyball and hit the ball harder and faster and break somebody's nose and face. In fact, it was an eye socket on one of them. Now let's have a man swim faster than a girl where he wouldn't even rank in high school. You understand the number one high school person, I think it was like number 20 or number 120 could beat this man who was beating women at the collegiate level. But if he had to compete under men, he wouldn't even have had a chance. Oh, but that's fair for women. That's the way to do it. That's the right thing to do. Fight for something. You see, your retirement accounts give you freedom. Your retirement accounts gives you the income each and every month where you can go up yours to the establishment. You can say, forget you guys. I don't care what you need. I don't need your job. I'm not a prisoner working for the city for 14 years, not getting my pension for another 15 years, but I'm stuck here like a prisoner. So many of you, I want to move with my young family. I hate what they're learning in school. Well, pick it up and move. Well, Eric, I'm 38 years old. I've been with the city for 15 years. I don't receive my pension until I'm 55. What is it, like a prison sentence? So your pension is more important than the mind of your child. Well, no, Eric, because it's a house and I can have a, no, forget it. Courage costs. Everybody pays something. Courage costs, just like doing nothing costs. What's the cost to do nothing? Some of you still decide you're going to work for the city, county, state and be stuck here and not fight, not make waves so you can get promotion to the next. Listen, your kids are listening to somebody. If it isn't you, they know when you're courageous. Kids have grown up a lot faster. But now you're a grandparent or you're a young parent or an older parent, right? Maybe you're somebody that's, I don't know, 52 years old. And you're like, Arif, 10 more years and I can collect Social Security. I get it. Figure out what you're good at. Open a business on the other side of wherever you want to go. Or start running for city council. Stand up to water boards. Post videos. Do TikTok, YouTube. I don't know. Wherever your talent lies. Remember that guy, Anthony? Something Anthony? Richmond out of Richmond. His talent is singing. He's actually a really good singer. They posted it goes crazy on social media. Man was offered millions of dollars to sell out. You know that. And he didn't. He didn't. He took his skill and did something else. You can have a life of... Listen, your time stamp is over. We know, you know, that one day you're going to pass away. What are you doing? Collecting stuff, right? Oh, look, I got the latest, greatest stuff. Look at my garage, my backyard, stuff. Yeah, but what did you do to demonstrate the be? Remember, we talked about this. There's two things, being and doing. Poor people do. Rich people do, but off of their bees, meaning that rich mindset. I didn't say a lot of money in their pocket. That's wealthy. You see, the more you be, B-E, for example, be courageous, be humble, be hardworking, be honest, be trustworthy, be a good husband, be a good wife, be a good parent, be a good partner. Do you follow me? Because if you be, then your do's are going to be different. Being courageous means now I do something different. Being weak means now you do something different. We all have a legacy. Sometimes it's 4 minutes after you die, nobody remembers you. You know that. Even today, pictures are buried under the 14,000 pictures in their iPhone. Nobody remembers you. Unless you make it so they remember you. I've had people come in whose parents were not very good people. That was always shocking to me when I was younger. It wasn't until I was a police officer that I realized how bad people could be to each other. Because I didn't grow up that way. I have a great mom, a great dad. I had great family. I mean, listen, there was always that uncle or that cousin. There's always somebody. But in the neighborhood, if you were a bad guy, it's because you were what you did, not because of who you were, that your mom was a working mom, right? We had one working mom in the neighborhood. Ooh, we had a gay couple. We had kids that were born out of wedlock and their parents weren't married. We had Irish Catholics, six of them, two Jewish boys. We had a Korean girl that was adopted. What? Adopted? Yeah, what? Black family, husband and wife, two kids, boy, girl. Lebanese family, my dad, Spanish, Mexican. Right? This isn't about 15 homes, by the way. This isn't an entire city block. This is just 15, 18 homes. My point is, if you weren't selected first on the baseball, you know, pickouts for our team on the street, it's because you didn't work good in baseball. Not because you were tall, skinny, white, short, black, fat, right? If you were a fast runner, we picked you on the tag team when we played tag or hide and seek. I mean, you get it? It's the adults that input racism into the kids' lives. I shared this before, but it's worth sharing again. When our kids were little and we'd go to the park, I remember going to the park. My kids were playing on a playground and one of the kids said something and did something and another kid this. And then I remember my son came over. And he said, Daddy, can so-and-so come and play at our house? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, I said, I don't know who, he said his name. I said, I don't know who it is. Who is it? Can you point him to me? He says, yeah, Daddy, he's over there. He's the one with the blue shirt. He was a black child. You understand my son didn't see that because that's not how we talked in our family. But the kid had a blue shirt on. I mean, do you understand that? You ask a five-year-old today, and the five-year-old today will say, it's that Asian child. It's the Hispanic boy, the one over there, the black child, the one over there. It's the adults that input racist ideas into the kids, not the kids. We were done with racism in any form or fashion the way it used to be. Not forever, not all the time, not in that neighborhood, not in that part of the city. I get it. But do you understand for a minute that the U.S. overwhelmingly elected a black-appearing man for president? Not once, but twice. Do you understand how powerful of a statement that is to putting to bed the systemic racist ideas? If it weren't for him restoking it, it would just be a footnote in American history. But there's so much power given to these organizations. There's so much power given to companies and people that are making money off of this racist ideas. You know that. Just like there's so many companies making money off of the illegal immigrants. You realize that. Salvation Army is making a killing off of the illegal immigrant. They are making so much money. And all of these random other non-governmental organizations. But if I say Salvation Army, you know exactly who they are. They are making a killing off of this, financially speaking. You understand? It's business. It's business. The amount of money people are making sometimes shapes decisions. All right. Stay with me after the break. I have a special email this time. It's a, what would you call a report? Right? After the fact, it's a report. It's somebody that I met with. It's the results of some of the recommendations we gave them. And we're going to find out how their life has gone since when we come back. The Total Financial Hour. 888-99-RETIRE. I'm Arif Halaby. Your place for news, talk, and information. Stay with me after the break. Your emails on the second hour. The Total Financial Show. We'll be right back.
Now every dollar's got a job to do. Arif makes your money work for you. Learn about financial power. The Total Financial Hour. Learn about financial power. The Total Financial Hour. Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy, learn from Arif Halaby.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Arif Halaby, Total Financial Hour. Your emails, including one special today. I think I'm going to put this on first time. I receive them every once in a while, and it's nice to share it with you a little bit so you get a chance to see the life of somebody that has followed some basic ideas. I mean, I don't think I'm a genius. This is not something new. Some of the concepts that we bring up, which is reliable retirement income. What? Guaranteed sources of money. What? Income that comes in each and every month, come heck or high water. I like it. Well, that's not that hard. Not taking a risk. So let me be clear on a couple of things. When you work, when you're young, and your food, shelter, clothing comes from your job, then your retirement accounts can and probably should go up and down, up and down, up and down. Because you're in your 30s or 40s or even early 50s. If you have a long time before you're going to retire, when I say a long time, 10 plus years, okay, 10, 12 years, something like that. When you have a long enough time, then you should be putting your money in a place where it can go up and down if you're always buying. So if you're dollar cost averaging, even if you're 40 years old and you are not dollar cost averaging, I wouldn't take the kind of risk that some people take today. But if you are dollar cost averaging, and I'll explain that, which means every 2 weeks you're putting in money, certainly when the company is giving you free money, right, called a matching, take it. You put in money, they put in money, you put in money, they put in money. Oh, wait, you're 37 and the market is down. Doesn't matter. You're buying more shares. You see, when your food, shelter, clothing comes from your job, you don't want your income to go up and down, because your bills don't go up and down, right? When your bills are the same, house payment, car insurance, when they're relatively the same, you have to have a reliable, consistent, almost predictable source of income. It's called your job, your career, whatever it is. That's paying you each month so that you can know, yes, I can afford this house payment, or yes, I can afford this car payment. And hopefully there's a little extra, you better be planning this way, that goes into your savings or your checking for emergencies just to build a cushion. So food, shelter, clothing comes from your job. Retirement accounts go up and down. Then over time, as you get closer to retirement, I don't know, 10, 12 years, then you have a bit more safety, more and more safety. Because then the ups and downs only hurt your big chunks of money. Now you're retired and the market is down. Now you're retired and there's a recession. Guess what? Sorry, tough luck. What do you mean tough luck? You don't get to retire. But I want to retire. Look, you counted on your 401k plan being of a certain level. You know how many people have come to me that said, I'm going to retire once my 401k plan hits a million and it's 900,000. I said, well, what's a million? Well, it just makes me feel good. Well, that's fine. You can feel. But you can't feel numbers, right? You can't feel something. A million and 900,000 has nothing to do with your feelings. It's all in your head, not your heart. It's made up. Now, if you came to me and said, Eric, if it's a million, or maybe you wanted it to be 400,000, whatever the number is, and you're waiting for it, and then I ask you, and you don't give me a feeling number, but you say something like, well, the reason is because when I take 4% of that number, I can live on this much per month, and it makes sense because then I can consistently have an income stream based on math, logic, percentages, fractions, multiplication. Hey, I'm in. I like it. Makes sense. But your feelings mean nothing. I have seen people not live comfortably on $1 million in their savings account because it was invested, or they put it in the wrong place, or it was invested incorrectly, right? I mean, you understand that. You can mess up $1 million just like you can crash a Ferrari. You can crash a Hyundai. You can crash a Ferrari. There is no difference. You can lose a dollar. You can lose a million. I have seen people live very comfortably on $250,000 in their savings account because it's a function of other sources of income. It's a function of how much they spend. You see, ask yourself, why do you live in a city? And don't tell me the San Fernando Valley or Glendale really isn't kind of sort of a city. It's not downtown LA. Why do you live in a city? For what? You can have Amazon delivery, Instacart. You can live in the outskirts. You can live in a small town and wherever you want to live. You have email and internet and fax and Zoom. FaceTime. I mean, what is it that you want? Is it about family? Is it about weather? Is it about a combination of both? So be realistic about what you're doing and for what reason. If you're a single guy, maybe that's where the ladies are, right? There's more cows in some counties in parts of this country than there are people. So I get it. If you're trying to find a mate or a partner, it's very difficult. In a city, it's probably easier. So ask yourself, you know, so many of you are, I'm a foodie. I love food. I'm a foodie. I like good food. No, you don't. You just like food that you like. You're not an expert. Just because somebody on Yelp says it's 5 stars doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean I'm going to like it. Just means they liked it. So what? Do I know them? Do I care what they think? Let me ask them what I should wear today. Let me send that person who gave them 5 stars. Well, Arif, it's 174 reviews and 160 of them are 5 stars. So what? I mean, honestly. Oh, well, Arif, you don't understand. If most people like it, it must be. Aha. So now you do what the majority like. Oh, but Arif, it's not that way. No. Because when they get a Google review, it must. Oh, so now it's Google, not Yelp. What if you just. I know this is going to. It's going to sound crazy. But just stay with me. What if you just thought for yourself for a minute? What if you did it the old-fashioned way? Your cousin, who you know their judgment, their opinion, you know what movies they like. If your cousin says, hey, this is a great movie, you guys should go see it, the movie theater is not paying him. But you know that your cousin has a pretty good, well, at least compared to you, they like the same movies you do. They like the same things, restaurants. So when your cousin gives you a recommendation, you know we are the good, we are the same, or we are not the same. Cousin has great taste in movies, same as mine, not so similar when it comes to sushi. Okay. But you trust a bunch of strangers on Facebook to give you thumbs up for approval. You have social media. You want people on Instagram to say, you're amazing. Here's a heart. Here's an emoji. What? They are strangers. They don't know your heart. They don't know your character. So think about this for a minute on where you want to live in retirement. Are you that concerned about what other people think? That don't matter. I don't mean your friends and family. right? My wife's opinion of me, or my kid's opinion of me, or my mom, my sister, that matters a lot to me. Some stranger down the street or a relative I barely see is irrelevant to me. I don't live their life. So today there are some amazing websites. Dennis and I just cut a commercial on it. It's a MarketWatch website, okay? CBS MarketWatch. There's a way to determine where you can retire. I gave some input on it. We kind of helped modify it a little bit, develop it, make some changes. Loved it. Loved it. Where do you want to retire? You answer five questions on the must have, five questions on the nice to have, go through a whole list of things, select what you want. It is best to select the states ahead of time. You can select the entire country, but it is better to select the states. Put in the criteria you like, and it will tell you what part of those states rank number one to number 10. Now, I don't expect you to write this all down or to get it all. If this matters to you, send me an email at Arif, A-R-I-F, Arif at tfswealth.com. So that's Arif, A-R-I-F, at tfswealth.com. And I will I'll send you the link. It's a little hard to find. I wish they would have done it slightly different there. It is difficult to find. However, if you look properly and click around, you'll eventually find it. But I can send you the link directly to it if you'd like. All right. Couple of things. I want you to have in your mindset here an understanding that people are different, right? Baby boomers are now the old people. Remember baby boomers? Don't trust anybody over 30. That was the mantra. And now baby boomers, 1946 to 1964, that's the commonly accepted birth year for baby boomers, 72, 77 million, depending on who you check. That's a lot of people, made a lot of decisions, a lot of kids that were fed cereal, whose parents ate bacon and eggs and steak, etc., for breakfast. Today, those 77 million people, guess what they eat for dinner? Yeah, cereal. Their entire restaurants where you just go in and have cereal. I need you to understand that you can control an entire activity, which is breakfast, of a population if you're patient. Right? The parents ate bacon, eggs, etc. I mean, breakfast was hearty. That was breakfast. But not when you're a single mom with two kids. Not when you have four or five, six children and you're trying to get them all off to school and you live in the city now, not the farm. So a bus comes, and if you miss it, you miss it. So you have to be ready. The bus decides your morning schedule when you have five children getting ready to go to school, right? Baby boomers, lots in their family, many, many siblings. So what's quick and easy? Cereal. All right, so keep that in mind, 1946 to 1964. 1964, this year you are turning 60. Is that wild? The youngest baby boomer is now 60. Remember the yuppies? That was part of the baby boomer. Collar shirts lifted up, right? Tan, teal, beige, right? The light colors. The first time I ever heard the word pastel was when the collar was lifted up in these Ray-Ban sunglasses and a convertible, and the guy, that's a yuppie. Oh, wow. A dink. Still to this day, dink. Dual income. No kids. Means they have more money to spend. Sushi three nights a week. Vacations. First class. Living with somebody. Not being married. Baby boomers, many of them, chose no children. Or barely one or two. Buffy and Bunny, right? They chose two kids. That's it. Barely enough to replace themselves. Baby boomers, career first. Maybe they were 32 when they had their first child and that was it, just one. It's no wonder that baby boomers, 72 million, 77 million, how many kids did they have? Oh, about less than 30 million, 24, I think is the number. So when you have 77 million people having 30 million children, we knew that there was going to be a housing crisis in 2008-9 just from a supply and demand case. We know there's another one coming because baby boomers need to sell their home to downsize. They need to sell their home to get money for retirement because many of them didn't save. They need to sell their home to purge out the equity. So the good news is there's only 30 million people to buy 70 million homes. Guess what happens to the price when there's 30 that wants to buy 70? Guess what the 70 have to do to their price? They have to lower it. They have to lower it. They want to downsize. They want a single story. They want a mother-in-law quarters because now a 62-year-old, 65-year-old has a parent that's 87. They need to live with them. A big change is happening this time. All right, so keep that in mind as I share with you baby boomer adjacent people. That's a new word, baby boomer adjacent. Like Beverly Hills adjacent. Where do you live? Beverly Hills adjacent. I'm like, okay, I was a policeman at Cadillac and La Cienega, Sawyer. If you're not familiar with the area, you're lucky. And that was Beverly Hills adjacent, a couple of blocks. And when I was there, nothing but car break-ins. We would have pursuits. You'd have massive amounts of robberies. I mean, it was not a safe area to be in 1991. All right, here we go. Dear Arif, I have been with my wife, quotes wife, who is 57 years old, and I'm 59, for more than 30 years. We share a daughter together, but we are not officially married. We built a construction business together and have a fourplex rental property that will be paid off this year. We should have around $6,000 a month from that when it is fully rented. We started a solo 401k at our company about 20 years ago, and we each have about $400,000 in our accounts. As I'm getting older and slower, my concern is I will not be able to work as hard in the future. My goal is to retire in the next few years and probably move to Nevada. We are wanting to keep a house in Southern California, if possible, so we will need to have a down payment for that new house. Both of our Social Security checks should be around $2,000 a month each, so for a total of $4,000, when we are both 62 years old. My thought was to have that $4,000 cover our house payment, taxes, and insurance for the new place. My question is, do you think we can have an extra $4,000 a month from our retirement accounts in the next 4 or 5 years? Also, is there any reason to keep our life insurance policies? We are both very healthy and exercise every day. Okay. Do you guys get it? 57 and 59. So at 62, that means he's going to be 64. So he'll be a little bit older when they both turn on their Social Security. So he'll be 64. She'll be 62. Yes, they will get less than if they waited to 70. But here's the problem. They're not married. So when you're not married, you don't receive your partner's higher Social Security check. So if he passes away, she loses his Social Security check. If she passes away, he loses her Social Security check, regardless of whose is larger. You see, husband, wife, married, you keep the higher of the two Social Security check, or husband, husband, probably, wife, wife. But if you are living together and you're not married, you don't receive the other person's Social Security check. That's a big planning tool that we use a lot. I always say, well, look, at least we're going to end up with the higher of the two Social Security checks. We don't get that here. So whatever the number is, just keep that in mind. I'm not saying go get married or don't go get married. I don't think you should. I mean, it's you guys are adults, but I think, look, if you're playing wife, husband, you can always tell when the person does the who needs a piece of paper to get. I'm like, okay, well, you just said a piece of paper is worthless, then go get married. All the laws and rules and everything are built around marriage. You can argue, you can protest, hold a sandwich sign on the corner of the freeway, and all of the rules and laws are built around being married. That's why gay couples wanted to be married so badly, because they couldn't be a visit at hospitals. They couldn't be a part of trusts and retirement accounts the same way as a spouse. So those are big deals and reasons to push that. So anyway, back to this. Here's what I want you to do. You can make each other the beneficiary on your retirement accounts. That's very important. But here's what you do not do. When you are living together, couples, whatever it might be, for a very long time or not, but when you have a non-spouse beneficiary, the non-spouse beneficiary has to withdraw all of the money at 10 years. By the time 10 years comes and goes, a spouse can keep it in for the rest of their life. In other words, keep earning income off of that account for a very long time. But a non-spouse does not receive that benefit. So here's two things that a non-spouse does not receive. They're not allowed to take that retirement account and make it their own. They have to withdraw it down to zero at 10 years. Second thing a non-spouse does not receive is the ability to get the higher of the two Social Security checks. So if we say his is going to be higher for two reasons, one, maybe that's the way they structured it, but secondarily, he's going to start his at 64. So even if their Social Security check would be the same at 62, he has another approximately 15% more in income in Social Security. So that means his Social Security check might be an extra, I don't know, $600 a month, something like that. That's a lot, by the way, $600 a lot. All right. So depending on, of course, the age, right? So here's the other part to this. If you want to keep a life insurance policy, I would do so because of those two things we don't receive. Right, we don't receive that extended Social Security benefit. So the life insurance can be a good gap filler. So I would encourage you guys, if you are together with a life partner and or whatever they call it, domestic partner these days, but you're not married and you don't receive those Social Security benefits and you don't receive the retirement account benefits, then we use life insurance policies to fill that gap. And it works very nicely because life insurance is tax-free, regardless of who receives it. Children, husband, wife, business partner, it doesn't matter. It is tax-free to the recipient. So I like to use it, especially if you're in your 50s. We can still get it when it's inexpensive, and it gives us a little comfort zone. Second, if you think you might get married, maybe sort of, maybe kind of, sometimes people do. We had a lovely couple that I married in my office. This is not an invitation for my wedding services, but I'm an ordained minister to be able to marry people. So I think I've done four weddings now. But just know that, you know, they were both in their, gosh, I want to say 70s. And you get all sorts of benefits, so there's reasons to do it, right? Sometimes there's veteran benefits. If he was a veteran and she wasn't, but you live together, if you're married, when he passes away, she would receive many of his veteran benefits. If they're just living together, then they don't receive them, right? Like I said, laws, rules, things are set up for those that are spouses. I didn't make the rules. I'm not arguing in this particular segment for or against it. Just know what the facts are, and we have to protect that. All right. So, the other part that I want you to do is to, I'm going to write something down here because I just thought of something for you. This is the other part that I think most of you don't figure out when you're working through this. If I can have another source of income, in other words, you can live in Nevada sooner rather than later, meaning you can run your business. I don't know the structure of your business or how it all works. But in your particular business, if you can legitimately, and you're going to check with CPAs or attorneys and accountants, then you might be able to save taxes from the state of California on some or all of that money sooner rather than later. So in other words, not waiting 3 or 4 or 5 years before you retire, but start sooner. If that's the case, I might say buy a house now, because I think houses in Nevada are going to only go up. You see, Nevada suffered greatly, Las Vegas especially, because their only real source of income was gambling. So in 2008 and 9, when people stopped gambling, so did the tax revenue stop coming. Today, you can drive through the 15 or the 215 or multiple places up in Reno. And what do you see? You see the Tesla factory. You see the Tom's Shoe factory and Zappos, I think, is the name of it. I mean, on and on. There's companies, there's just distribution centers. So there's multiple revenue streams now for the state of Nevada instead of just gambling. When gambling did well, police were paid well. When gambling didn't, layoffs came. Okay, that's not the case anymore. I don't know what the dollars are exactly, but the evidence, the anecdotal evidence by driving around, you can see a lot of different sources of revenue. So I don't think if a problem comes that Nevada is going to feel the same kind of suffering that it did last time. And by the way, I think a problem is coming around the corner. I think what the Biden administration is doing is they're setting it up so that when the Trump administration comes in for the second term, that he's going to feel whatever pain they are setting up and baking into the system. Because it's like you create such a problem and then you walk out the door, you light a small match, say, see you later, I'm moving down to Cabo, I'm retired. Well, meanwhile, this is a slow burn. Well, eventually it's going to catch fire and you have to do something. So I think that's what the Biden administration is doing. So short answer, guys, here's what I would do. Consider keeping the life insurance policy or getting another one, depending on if you have a plan that is running out. So we can help. A good financial professional can help review it, especially if you guys are healthy. Life insurance has come down in cost over the years. So maybe you can save a little bit of money. Next, I would separate here. This is what I like. I would use each one of your retirement accounts for a different purpose, meaning I want one to start income in 4 years. The next one I want to wait 6, maybe even 8 years from now. So giving yourself another 2 to 4 years. Here's why that matters. If I have the accounts do the job of making up the difference of both the taxes that you would save and the Social Security check you would lose, and I can have a life insurance policy kind of merge with all of that, then I would probably take, this is very important. One of you is probably going to live a lot longer than the other. I don't know who. Sometimes it's men, sometimes it's women these days. And when that happens, I would leave about $100,000 of your retirement accounts just off to the side in a long-term, kind of like a long-term care. And you just set it aside. So don't touch it. Let it grow, let it grow, let it grow. If you need it for health reasons, 15, 20, maybe 25 years from now, the one that lives the longest, that account is for them. All right, so that basically, let's pick a job for each money. We'll do that. All right, guys, hope that helps. Stay with me. After the break, I have a grateful email, something very nice from a client, the information that they took and how they responded when we come back. I'm Arif Hallaby, 888-99-RETIRE. This is the Total Financial Hour. We'll be right back.
Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Financial security will help you live the life you dream. Learn about financial power, the Total Financial Hour. Now higher income strategy, learn from Arif Hallaby.
Welcome back to the show, Total Financial Hour. Arif Hallaby, 888-99-RETIRE, 888-997-3847. I have to comment on that news segment that just came through. Amy Schumer went to the doctor because strangers on social media said her face looked puffy and she found out she has a disease. I hope she gets better, and whatever the solutions are that are needed to make that better, I think that's very... our prayers go with her. But the first hour of my show, did I talk about why in the daylights are you listening to social. You don't have any friend in your life to say, hey, your face looks fat. I don't mean you're ugly. It just looks fat. You say, yeah, cheeseburgers are awesome. I'd go, I would agree with you. Cheeseburgers are awesome. But don't social media, that's how you get your medical advice. You don't have any friend in your life, sister, brother, mother, cousin, neighbor, anybody to say, hey, listen, you know that I love and care about you because what I'm going to say comes from my heart. But I think you need to go see a physician, get a checkup. Something's wrong. Is everybody that afraid that you have to hide behind a screen or a little tablet or something? That's weird. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Forgive me if it's me. My rant is over. All right, continuing. Your emails, and why this one is important, because I get them every once in a while. I don't often share them with you. Sometimes people send me cards, and I really appreciate it, believe it or not. I think like most people that do things in a business setting or we're vocal about what we do and we stand at the tip of the spear, right? I told you that you either have to do something, you need to get out and fight, or you need to leave. Because right now you're just in the way if you're just absorbing oxygen and marking time. My job, my goal to do something is one, to take a portion of my Sunday, my weekend, my time off, and share it with you now. That's a little bit of a fight. Second is we financially support Dennis Prager, Larry Elder, and others that fight. Right? I can buy a nice car or shoes, but we chose to put our money into the fight. So it doesn't matter if it's $5 or $5,000. I want you to be involved because I think most people are afraid. Do I get flack? Oh my goodness, do I. Quote, people that were my friend. How do you like that racist Dennis Prager? Right? Anti-Semite. That's my favorite. I said, by the way, did you know he was Jewish? What? Right? I mean, you understand that you're not going to always have everybody like you. So when you guys do send me nice cards or emails, I really appreciate it, especially clients that have worked with us. We just hit 20 years. Wow, it's so amazing. 20 years. It's incredible. It's a big deal. So 20 years on the radio is what I'm saying. 28 years in the financial business. So there's a lot of things. You mean to tell me you can't go back somewhere, maybe even last week, go back somewhere and say, oh, but Eric, you said this and it was mean. Maybe. I'm sure, probably, right? Oh, Eric, you said this and it wasn't right. Maybe, sometimes. If something's incorrect, I try to correct it as quick as possible. Oh, Eric, you said this and offended me. Okay, but that's a you problem. Oh, but sometimes you upset people. I get it. That's their problem. I don't want to upset anybody in my life. Well, that's great. When you pass away, people will consider you a weak individual who didn't make a difference for good in anybody's life. Oh, yeah, I did. And the little kid down the street. Awesome. You think that's enough? God wasted an entire life so that you can make a difference in one person's life with all the talent, gifts, intellect that you have. You think that's it? Oh, I did it with my family, my kids. That's what matters. Really? So once they're grown up, why are you even here anymore? I think you have to take your intellect, your experience, teach, speak, advocate. You're amazing at what you do. You're amazing at the knowledge you know. Why are we not fighting? Just think about that. I don't know. All right, I want to share this with you. This was from a client from a few years ago, 3 years ago to be exact. And I saw this, and I thought I would share it with you. Here's why. You'll see in just a second. I want to share with you their situation, and then I'm going to share with you what we did, and then how it worked itself out, right? What they actually implemented and how it came to be. So this is advice that we gave them, recommendations on how to set up their financial life. I'm a certified estate planner. So as a CEP or a certified estate planner, I work with trusts and trust attorneys regularly. I want to say probably a couple of times a week, sometimes 4 times a week, sometimes nothing for 2 weeks, but you get the idea. Dozens and dozens of times a year, hundreds probably. And our job is simple. It's to integrate what the CPA or the trust attorney as a tax professional on some level, right, with all these years of information and knowledge in tax world in some area. Our job is to work with those professionals that are experts in their areas. So we did that a little bit. Okay, here it is. Dear Arif, first, I would like to thank you for your help, the help you have given me and my husband 3 years ago. Upon the recommendation of Dennis Prager, we came to see you for a second opinion. When we met you, we were initially embarrassed about our finances. We were ashamed and thought we could have done better. We thought we should have more money saved and be in an overall better position. But you made us feel welcome and very comfortable. We are now retired and live in another state. We have more than enough money coming in each month and feel like we are able to sleep well at night. Your ability to see the big picture and set up an income stream that is reliable and guaranteed was a dream come true. Please feel free to let others know what you did for us, as it may help them as well. We want others to enjoy a retirement and feel like they deserve to sleep well at night. Okay. That was nice, huh? I even get a little bit emotional reading it, you know, over again. I've read it a few times, of course. All right, here was their solution. Here's what we did. When they came in over 3 years ago, she was 60 and he was 61. All right, that's important because he was just coming up on another birthday, so he was almost 62. But she was 60, he was 61. They had about $600,000 saved in three different retirement accounts. They had two old ones. He had different jobs over the years, worked for a few years, worked for more than a decade, laid off, changed jobs. That happens to many people. And he had a couple of different old retirement accounts. One of them was also, the third was in an IRA. Okay. They also had a rental property they had just sold. So this was 3 years ago. So do the math with me. 3 years ago was 2021, in the middle of COVID. So they sold that rental property, and that was about an extra $200,000 in their pocket, and just in their savings account. Their current home, where they lived, had over $500,000 in equity. Like many of us, right? If you bought a house a while ago, you have a lot of equity. So here's what we did. When they sold that house, we used it to put down money and pay cash for the new one, meaning no house payment. I love it. No house payment. Even though interest rates were much lower 3 years ago, still no house payment. I'm okay with that. The retirement accounts we had for them, I separated those into four different places. They were three accounts, but I separated them into four. You can do that. As long as they're the same tax classification, we can do that. One was just a savings account at the credit union. That's it. It was an IRA savings account. Because the IRA part of it is just the tax treatment of that account. The underlying investment or place that you put the money, in other words, you can have an IRA that's in a mutual fund, an IRA that's in individual stocks, an IRA that's in a CD at a bank, an IRA that's in a fixed annuity, IRA that's a fixed indexed annuity, IRA that's a savings account, IRA that owns real estate. Do you follow me? So the IRA is just the conversation between the IRS and you regarding this money, this account. Okay, so we set up one of those accounts was an IRA at a savings account at the credit union. I like credit unions because they pay better interest. People care about you. They know you. I'm not a fan of banks whatsoever. Okay, except Old Glory Bank. You guys remember now? It's now new. It's newer, meaning it's been around maybe 3 years now, 2-3 years. I really, really like Old Glory Bank. I want you to consider that as an option. Okay? But generally, banks I'm not a fan of. Certainly the Chase and the Wells Fargo's. Okay. Here's what we also did. All right, we took those four accounts, one savings account. The reason I did this is important. I used it as a spend down account, meaning they needed a little extra money each month to buy them time until they were 62. Well, what we did is we bought enough time because they ended up working a little bit where they moved. They didn't expect to. She worked part-time for a law firm. She was like a paralegal. And he worked in advertising and picked up an odd job now and again. But because they didn't have a house payment anymore, and because they were in a place with no state income tax, and because gasoline costs less and energy costs less and on, the part-time income that they made, plus the other monies that we set aside in this savings account that dripped a monthly income into their bank account, was more than enough for them to live. So instead of 62, we let it percolate until she was 63, and he then had just turned 65, so now Medicare for him, and it allowed for a higher Social Security check for both of them. Then what I did with those, so we had four accounts, right? One was the savings account. I separated one for long term. I went far, far out. Went, this one is designed when one of you passes away. We're going to have all these bonuses, extra interest added, higher return. The job of this account is the last one standing can still live comfortably. Then these other two I laddered. One started income at 63 for the younger. One was 5 years later at 68. Now they could start income sooner, right? All these accounts, you could start a year from now or 2 years from now. It doesn't matter. But what I wanted to do was to give them a chance to drip, drip, drip to keep them below the next tax bracket. So we were on many calls with their CPAs, and I do that with you. You come in, we sit down, we call your tax professional. Not right now, by the way, because right now they're pulling their hair out. We wait till after April 15, May, June, all right, or before, November, December, January. We're on the phone. We do a conference call, or we meet them. Sometimes I go with. And we say, okay, here's what we're trying to do. He says, okay, you can take out $18,264 each year without hitting the next tax bracket. Great. Thank you. Tells us what to do on our end. We know how to withhold. And that attorney, if we have a trust account, says, here's where we should put this money in for the living trust. So we layer it. And because the last one was designed, that last account was designed to replace in case one of them passed away, the way we structured it, you guys, they had way more income than they needed each month. Way more. And they were able to defer it. Now, at 60 years old, we could only wait until 73. So just know that. At age 73, you have to start taking money out of the account. It's called a required minimum distribution. Required minimum distribution. So keep that in mind. There are some requirements. And because they were married, we got to use the marital exemption when one of them passes away. So we can just continue with that account under her name or his name. But I want you to know this. It sounds like a lot of money, about $600,000 in three different accounts. Many of you go, gosh, if I only had, if it was, wish. But remember, they also had a house with equity. What do you do to make that house with equity happen? Nothing. You just have to pay the bills each and every month. Right? You understand that it's not a whole lot of you doing anything. What it is more than that is simple. It's the account growing and growing, or the house rather, growing and growing in value because somebody else decides that. Right? Not you. So don't think you have to do a lot. Same thing with some of your retirement accounts. If you guys are still working and adding money to your retirement accounts, there are some proactive things that you can do. But if you're getting a match and you're putting money in, you know, large companies or small companies, whatever you decide, and your financial professional, by the way, better decide with you. It's not designed for you to go in every week, buy, sell, change, buy, sell, change. All it is designed for you to keep it, put it in, put it in, put it in, put it in. You're buying high, buying low, buying high, buying low, buying more shares, buying less shares. But remember, you don't take shares. I wanted to say other things. You don't take shares to the grocery store. You take dollars. That's why some people say, Eric, I have, this is important, I have 16 rental properties. I say, great. What is your income like? Well, I don't really know because it changes. No. You can't take drywall to the grocery store, just like you can't take shares of Apple or Tesla. You have to take dollars. That means you have to convert those shares into cash. Wait, the shares are worth a lot less because the recession or the economy or collapse in the market? It doesn't matter if you have 100 shares of whatever. You have to sell more of them to get the same dollars to go to the grocery store. Because if the share price goes down, you still have to take dollars to the grocery store. Just like with rental property. You can have a lot of rental property. But if you don't have a profit each month, if you don't have a cushion each month, it doesn't matter how much equity you have in the property. Oh, Eric, it's $1 million and I owe nothing. Great, go try to get a loan. Oh, I can't because I don't have income or my credit is bad or I don't make enough money. Well, doesn't matter if you have $1 million equity. You can't take drywall to the grocery store. So these are things that you learn. And in this case, this couple did. They learned how to create and, in fact, to transfer when they sold their rental property. It's not always the best thing to do. It's not my choice. It was theirs. But sometimes it is. But their rental property that they sold, and they had just sold it before they had come to me, by the way, so that had already happened. And it had $200,000 sitting in the bank. Here's a part that most of you may not even know. We took $100,000 of that money, and we bought a life insurance policy. It's a single premium, put it in one time. And it was about just under $200,000 because they were in very good health. And it was on him. So that $100,000 got us around $200,000 of life insurance. Now, what is that life insurance? Tax-free. What if they need to borrow against it? No problem. What if they had a medical concern? Long-term care, not just a trip to urgent care, but serious enough. Or a stroke, or something occurred and he can't walk, feed himself, etc. We can utilize some or most of that face amount, that $200,000, for what? For his care. Oh, Arif, do we have to pay tax on it? Nope. No, we don't. So we bought ourselves the ability to have multiple sources of revenue and income. Some are taxable. Right? Some are taxable. What is it that's taxable? Simple. It's the retirement accounts. Because way back when they opened them, they're taxable. Oh, wait, now they are in a different state without income tax. Great. If you plan on leaving the state of California when you retire, save money in traditional IRAs and 401ks. Save money on today's tax bracket, pick up and move to another state, no income tax. You might, for the state, you'll still pay federal. That doesn't change wherever you go. And maybe federal income taxes for you are going to be much higher later. So maybe it is better for you to pay state and federal today versus just higher federal later. It takes the math of a CPA or a financial professional. We sit down together, your tax person, we do the math. But you have to know this. Because part of what changes when you retire is the way you earn money. Earned income, unearned income, capital gains, long-term, short-term. Those are all big words. It's the reason, I know, ready for this? Who makes the rules, rich or poor people? Who makes the rules? Rich people have always made the rules. I know that's not a shock. Keep both hands on the steering wheel, please. Rich people have always made the rules. You just have to follow them. In the United States, it applies to everybody, but you have to figure it out. Why do you think somebody can come here with a thick accent from West Africa and within a decade become a millionaire? and somebody else is born and raised here and is still broke in the same trailer park, in the same broke down neighborhood, in the same ugly community with no hope, and yet for four generations they were born in this country. Right? You realize that doesn't happen anywhere else. Onesies, twosies, maybe. Try to pick up and be from another nation and go to Argentina. I love the country, by the way. And see if you can figure out the rules. Oh, wait, your brother-in-law doesn't work there? Sorry. The corruptness in Peru, the corruptness in Vietnam, in the Philippines, and on, it doesn't matter. There's only one place in the world that I know of, 55 countries now, 54, 55 countries. You guys know my dad worked for the airlines and a travel agency, so we got to fly, not always for free when we were young, but mostly at a discount. So we took advantage of it. But I will tell you, in the 54 countries or so that I've been to, never have we seen the ability to succeed like the United States. Why has more African Americans come to the United States, legitimate African Americans, meaning from Africa, not 17 generations ago from Africa? Why has more immigrants from Africa come to the United States now since when all of the slaves put together? Horrible, horrific thing called slavery. Horrible. Any place. By the way, right now, there are still slaves going on. Yes, North Africa, they're enslaving people. Certain parts of Central America, enslaving people. Certain parts of Africa's, what would it be, East Coast, Southeast, enslaving people. Different tribes in Somalia. Black people from this tribe enslaving black people from this. Right now, today. So you want to be angry about something. You want to fix the world, make the world better. I'm all with you. You want to go back 16, 17 generations to try to fix something that has almost no impact today. And how people that are not indoctrinated in today's school system called the African Americans of Africa. My dad spent a decade there. When people come from Liberia and Sierra Leone and Ghana and they come to the United States, they're grateful. Oh, but don't you know it was systemic racism? They're like, oh, are you kidding me? I have a chance here. Of course there's going to be people that don't like me. I just don't talk to them. Oh, but they're in positions of power. Doesn't matter if you talk to them. So what? I just get smarter and work around it. Right? They have an attitude of fighting to fix things, fighting to succeed, not standing there with a handout. So my point is, if you want to win, you can do so. And this couple retired to another state, didn't even, and by the way, they're minorities, if you're not sure, right? They have a different color of skin than you and me. And they thought where they were going, nobody would want to hire them. And their point of view was this, in part of the letter I didn't read to you. Part of the email, rather, that I didn't read to you, was this. Arif, nobody cared that we were black. Nobody. We never heard it. We never saw it. We thought we would be walking into a place. We were so indoctrinated with such a racist Los Angeles Unified School District when we were younger, because they went to school here. We couldn't believe the racism that was imputed into our life and to our kids. If we could change it, we would have left earlier. Don't forget that, okay? You have a chance. Thanks for reaching out. 888-997-3847. 888-99-RETIRE. And my email is Arif, A-R-I-F, at tfswealth.com. Bless you. Have a wonderful week. I'm Arif Hallaby on the Total Financial Hour. On AM 870, The Answer. The Total Financial Hour.